have you ever thought about the people on the sidelines at any game, whether you're talking about basketball, soccer, football, Formula One, it doesn't matter. Have you ever thought about those people? Because it's not just coaches over there. It's not just water boys or water girls. It's not just kickers or whatever other positions, not just bench warmers, but athletic trainers. Well, stay tuned because we found one, y'all, combing the streets of TikTok yet again. And we're going to sit down with April Gonzalez to find out exactly what it's like.
At PGD, you're not just a listener, you're family. Is there a career you'd like us to explore or a success story you'd love to share and have us highlight on one of our episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at pgdfam@gmail.com. Subscribe to our show so you can get notified when new episodes drop. Help increase our reach with a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, everybody, we're back. And I've been lurking on the streets of TikTok. We've got Eunice here, and we have a special guest on our virtual couch, April Gonzalez. And today, people, we're going to find out what it's like to be on the sidelines, not as a player, not as a coach, but as an athletic trainer. So stay tuned, kick in, and April, welcome.
Hi, how are you, ladies?
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us on our virtual couch, like Rachel normally likes to say.
Yes, yes, I love it. I love it. Trust me, I've been listening to you girls a lot.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, thank you.
Thank you. So we always like to kick off with our first inaugural question. So take us back to your high school days. We like to look at junior and senior year because that's that critical time where everybody's getting ready to transition out of high school, kind of into adulthood or college. So where were you at that point? Did you know that you wanted to go into school and you wanted to get into athletic training, or did you have no idea?
So I used to play basketball in high school. Like, I did 1 year of basketball. And when I went to go do my physical, my pre-participation physical for junior year, I failed it because I had a benign heart murmur.
What?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, is that you just the time came right out the gate out? With it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't know that I had, you know, a problem with my heart. And since, you know, my sister passed away due to heart problems at the age of 24, they said I was a liability and I couldn't play anymore. Wow. And, you know, at that time, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you get to get cleared or whatnot. It was, you know, something.
That was it.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was injured a lot, and I knew the athletic trainer very, very well. And she didn't take juniors at that point. And I was like, please, please, please take me. This is something that I see myself possibly doing. And she said, yes.
You know what? I like that route. So you're the first person so far that we've interviewed that in high school, you expressed the interest in something and then reached out at that point in time to say, hey, can I do an internship? Can I kind of shadow you and see what you're about? So, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because I mean, a lot of people when they're in high school, they're just trying to figure it out. Yeah. They don't even know what their passion or their drive is. So you were fortunate that you knew, like, this area I'm interested in and I want to do more of it. Whether you change your mind 5 years from now, that's fine. We're all entitled to that. Mm-hmm. But you were like just a go-getter and was just like, let me do this. And you still weren't set back, even though, you know, you have this medical condition that could, you know, that's crippling for most. But in your case, you was like, I'm going to overcome this and still do what I want to do. So that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, because I knew I always wanted to do something with sports. Yeah. It's just, I was in the sports because in our high school, we had academies. So you can go into the medical academy, in the business, hospitality, or whatever academy you wanted to do so you can get your feet wet, you know? And I was in the sports medicine academy. And when I couldn't go back, I was just like, you know what? Let me see if this is something for me. Mm-hmm. If this is something I want to do. Like, I just love the rush of like helping athletes, like being there on the sidelines. Like doing what you do super quick. So
take us through what your process was and probably share with us what's like a traditional process that most people go through.
Yeah. So I didn't have enough money to go to like the big universities. So I knew I wanted to go the community college route. Yep. So I knew they had an athletic training like facility. So I just reached out to the athletic trainer there. And I told her, I was like, hi, I know that you take students to train under you in the college level, in the JUCO college level. Is it okay if I can interview with you or sit down with you in order for me to do one of the sports? And she was like, come out this day. The first thing she told me to do was like, tape my ankle. I'm like,
okay, what an interview. Like, okay, yeah, like, right now?
I was like, okay. I was like, sure. You know, and I knew how to tape and everything like that. So I was like, okay, she's going to test me. I'm doing this now. And she loved me like immediately. Oh, I did it so perfectly. I was so grateful for my athletic trainer in high school. Like, I was like, she taught me everything. And she ended up giving me a scholarship.
Wow.
And I didn't know at that point that you can actually get scholarships, you know, for athletic training. She goes, you're helping me out. You're volunteering and you're not getting paid for it. The only way we can pay you is through a scholarship.
I
love that. And you know what? You're teaching me something new. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening, because I had no idea that they offered scholarships for that either. That's amazing.
I mean, so we're learning more about April here. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has drive. She's an independent worker and she does not get stage fright. I mean, the lady was just like, here it is. You probably came in with one mindset and then you were put on the spot. It's kind of like when people lie on their resumes and they think no one's going to find out. But in your case, you were completely telling the truth.
Yes.
And it was put to the test and you did so well that she was like, oh my God, I got to keep her and I'm going to give her money. Like on top of that.
Yes, so it's she's cold calling. Like, hey, check this out. I saw your resume on LinkedIn and I need to enter with you ASAP. I love that.
I was like, I was so happy that, you know, I like, she liked me. Like, she genuinely liked me.
Yeah.
And I never, like, my athletic trainer in high school, she would throw me out like, hey, I need, there's somebody bleeding over there. Go take care of that. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, okay. But this time, when you're in college, you travel with them.
Oh, yes.
So now, were you prepared for that? Did you know?
Yeah.
Coming in, did you know you'd be traveling? And how did you process that?
Yeah, what was that like?
I did not know that we were going to be traveling. And I was like, okay. I made a checklist. And I was like, this is what this athlete's going to need on this day. This is what they're going to need on this day. Do I have the right amount of medication? Do I have the right amount of tape? You know, is there any type of medical history? I was freaking out the first time because I'm like, I'm not going to be prepared. I'm going to be missing something. And then she's like, oh, but remember, you're going to meet the athletic trainer at that site. And I was like, so I calmed down a little bit because, you know,
you weren't going to be all alone out there, kind of just trying to figure it out. So that was good. You had some sort of support.
Yeah. And for that JUCO college, we started with my major, like my associates in arts was pre-physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
So they were already pulling us into care and prevention, showing us like, you know, different types of injuries and walking us through those different types of injuries already before I was even, you know, setting foot with them, you know?
So I would imagine someone in high school that wants to look into this and wants to get prepared for going into this type of profession will probably want to look at like a lot of science related courses, like anatomy courses, chemistry type courses and things like that to be able to be prepared.
Yes. So I usually tell my student athletic trainers to always take a health class or also medical terminology class, because I know that they have that in high school. And sometimes they do have a care and prevention class in high school that deals just with sports prevention and everything like that. So I always tell them, I'm like, if you want to see how it is, especially in high school, before you go up into college,
yeah,
ask your lasting athletic trainer. It's a simple, well, now it's a simple email. Back then you would have to.
Yeah, well, doing what you were doing. You were, man, putting in work.
I was just going out there, or you gave a call because there was no text messaging. Like, yeah. It was a T9 text. That's what.
I remember those Nextel days very fondly.
So, and you remember, they used to charge for each text message. So.
Oh, they sure did. Sure did.
Messaging rates did apply. Thank goodness
those days are long gone. Now we're just fighting for bandwidth. Like, but question for you. So now, was there ever a time, and you know, no names don't have to be shared, where you had to make a call and the person you were treating or caring for didn't agree with what you were doing? Like there was just a difference in how you were approaching the treatment.
In between shows, keep the conversation alive with the youth in your households with our series, The Adventures of Sophie and Olivia, available on Amazon and directly on our website, pgd-innovations.com. The link is in our show notes. Don't forget to check out our merchandise, and we have some limited time gear only that's available this season. Don't miss out.
Yes. It's happened even to this day. Sometimes, okay. It always happens because it's depending on finances as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, they're like, okay, well, I can't afford a medical bill. Yeah. And I'm like, well, when in doubt, you refer out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
that's my thing. And I'm like, listen, this good is a clinical diagnosis. If we can try to help you out for 2 weeks, but if we can't, like, it's better for, for me to refer you out. And I always try to work with doctors that will help out my patient in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also have my physical therapist assistant license. So if they need physical therapy, they can just come to me.
Yeah.
And it's within the school and I can help them out like that, mm-hmm. with physical therapy or whatnot.
That's an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good to know that you can even do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just, I try to help them out as much as possible, but we like, I'll have some of those athletes that are just like, I don't believe you. Like, I'm like, okay. Watch just watch, but I'm giving you my professional opinion, and I write everything down because as a medical professional you always want to write everything down to basically TYA yourself.
And I mean, the one thing I've learned just over time with injuries is it may be fine when it happened and you may not have any consequences to it at that time, but then a year later, 2 years later, you're like, oh, why is this part of my body acting this way? It's like, oh yeah, you remember how you left it untreated back then? Yeah, here it is coming back to remind you, like, you should have done something.
Yep. Now every time it rains, you can tell because you feel it in your knees. Yep.
Well, you could see that with some athletes, right? It's like, oh, it's raining outside, these knees, and you're like
yes, oh my goodness. But like, even with the injury that stumps me the most is also with concussions, because some kids won't tell you when they're feeling concussed.
Yeah.
And
well, they don't want to be taken off the game, right? They got a point to prove, a score to make. They just don't, they're not thinking about the bigger picture, which is you just got this one body for the rest of your life. Treat it like it's gold, right? Your health is your wealth. But
yes. So that's my only one, like, where I get, I even have athletes that come back to me to this day and they'll be like, oh, I never told you about this. And I'm like,
no.
Yeah. I'm like, I could have helped you a lot when you were in the high school setting, but, but I always give them the best advice as I could give them. And if they need to go seek, a neurologist or whatnot, right. I have a list of people that they can go see, and also depending on their insurance or finances.
Yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And that's good to know. Like, you don't hesitate to say, hey, this needs to be looked at further. And I think a lot of more literature is coming out about just concussions in general, right? We didn't know a lot about it years ago, decades ago, but now we're knowing, like, there's a direct correlation between that and performance and everything else and just your health. So it's good to know there's people out there like you that's like, I see something, whether I'm 100% sure or not, go get it checked further, mm-hmm. you know? And if you don't want to take my word for it, again, I refer you to someone else. So that's very good to know.
From the perspective of an athlete going into college, you're coming out of your parents' house, you don't understand insurance or navigating any of that or finding the right specialists or physical therapists or acupuncturists that can help you in your treatment of healing. So to be able to have the added measure of going to my athletic training department, you guys know the injury. 9 times yeah. out of 10, you were there when the injury happened. You've yeah. been following me all along as I've been getting medical treatment outside the school. And then to be able to guide me in those things, that's invaluable.
So. Yeah, so I always try to help out like every athlete with whatever they have. Sometimes, you know, they could... like they could afford the surgery and then they can't afford the physical therapy because they have to pay for the surgery. Mm. And I'll be like, I'm here.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, we can help you out. Like, that's the reason why we're, you know, athletic trainers. We treat and prevent injuries and rehabilitate as much as we can to get them back on the field. And also we try to always keep them, even if they're in the rehab setting, for us, like with us, we try to keep them still part of their sport because, you know, I'll take them out there to so that they can do therapy with their sport or at least to do something with their sport. Because also, we're not just athletic trainers, but I feel like we're also somebody that is like their mentor mm-hmm. in a way, and they can speak to us yeah. and they have somebody that they can open up with us because sometimes injuries can affect the kids psychologically, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you find, I don't know if this is a work hazard or not, but do you find that now you push yourself in your personal life or your training regimen because of what you do all day? Or is it because, so by the time you get home, you're just pooped, you're tired, you're like, forget me, I don't have any energy left.
Yes, there's sometimes that I feel like that, especially like certain weeks, that I just feel like it's just been a tough work week. Mm-hmm. We've had too many injuries, or it's just, there's just so many kids because in a high school setting, it's just, especially in Miami-Dade County Public Schools, only one athletic trainer, you know, for all the sports. Sometimes wow. we have, like, we'll have our assistant athletic trainer, but it's not all the time there.
Yeah. So,
you know, and also the paperwork, because on top of that, we have to do paperwork. So.
Oh, wow. So kind of take us through your day. So I know there's two types of days. You have your day where you're supporting when there's a practice, and then you have your day where you're supporting when there's a game. So what is it like on your day where it's practice, there's different teams that are going out? It could be the basketball team, the soccer team. When do you start your day and what do you kind of do till you finish?
So I usually go into work around 12:30 or 1 o'clock because we're there until sometimes 7:30, uh-huh. 8 o'clock. Okay. So I'll just start off my day. I'll go in and I'll try to do as much paperwork as I can. And at 1:30, I'll start doing rehab and anything before, you know, because sometimes we get inundated with so many sports
yeah.
at the same time that I need to get the ones that need the personal care first, like out of the way. And then at 2:25 is when the kids start coming out. And, you know, we also fundraise through our training room. So we have that coming in as well. And then I have my student athletic trainers. They come and they'll help me out with stretching or whatnot. And we have from 2:25 to 3 o'clock, that's the time we need to get all of the athletes out that come in.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, that's crunch time.
Yeah. That's airtight. Now, yeah. And that's just a practice day, y'all. So now take us through, it's game day and you're preparing now. How early do you start your day?
So with game day, it's usually the same. It's depending on what we have going on, because sometimes we'll do have night games. We'll all come in a little bit later. Yeah. But it'll be usually noon or 12:30. I'll go get my girls' pregame meal, go to the school, get the treatment list set up, because I have the kids blocked off in certain certain minutes. Like, I'll have six athletes come in within these 15 to 20 minutes, and then I'll send that out to the coaches.
I see.
And then, but before game day, sometimes we still have other practices going on. So I have to
send
those kids out. And then once I get those kids out, then I'll bring the ones that have a game in.
Wow, it's like a symphony.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I do have student athletic trainers that they'll take care. I'll be like, hey, I put on the board what we need to have filled, what needs to be ready to go, and they'll have everything ready. They know exactly. I'm like, just look at the board. We need coolers. We need this many coolers. We need this many bottles. Did you check the kit that it's filled? And they know exactly what to do. And sometimes if it's a small game, like let's say, you know, it's not a football game. I have girls flag football or I have softball going on. I'll have girls designated for each sport. So like that, they'll take care of those sports. And then when I'm ready to go, I'll have everything on my cart and I leave to go watch those games.
So can you share with us like the moment that you just remember and that was a highlight of maybe your day or your time where you're like, this is why I do this. This is what I love about this. Can you share a moment that just hit you? And you're like, yep, I'm glad, you know. I was there to experience it, and this is why I do what I do.
There's been a lot of moments. Oh my God, I'm going to try not to get emotional for this one. But it literally happened not too long ago. It happened like right after Thanksgiving. One of my athletes actually went into cardiac arrest.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like I just reacted. I had to do CPR on him. We had to call 911. He wasn't with us for, you know, a little bit, but I was so happy to see his mom and know that we saved her child, you know?
Wow.
So, and I got recognized from Nicholas Children's Hospital on that situation. And I'm so grateful that they're putting also athletic trainers on the map to show what we do, that we're not there just to on the sidelines, like we're there saving their lives sometimes, because we're the first ones like in the practice on the field, you know, helping them. And when they when the mom actually was telling me, I'm so grateful for you, that was the highlight of my career as of right now.
Yeah. No, that's wow. And kudos to you. And thank you, Rachel. And I thank you for what you do, because it's important. We need eyes all over the place. And these are young minds, you know, and young people who think they're invincible. They can run through brick walls, right, and pay for the consequences later. But you're here to kind of say, in case something goes wrong, I'm here. And you take your job very seriously, and we could tell. So thank you, and definitely kudos for that recognition. But you are doing exactly what you love to do.
And for those of y'all that don't understand, because we do have people that they're not sports people. I didn't play sports. I don't watch sports. I don't understand, you know, the impact of it. Think of athletic trainers as, and they really are the first responders when something happens at a game. And I've been a spectator at many of sport, whether it's college or even in high school, broken bones, open wound injuries where someone has cut themselves open very badly on their leg, their hand, their arm, whatever the case may be, concussions, like you said earlier, those injuries do realistically happen. And in the oddest ways. It could be soccer, and you think nobody's going to get hurt running. And then two players somehow manage to run smack dab at full speed into each other and both knock each other out. And then those are the athletic trainers that are there first to apply first aid, you know, if before anybody else gets called. So think of it from that perspective.
Yeah. And we get a lot of athletic trainers because they call us trainers. And I love that you ladies are calling me an athletic trainer, because that word means like it speaks volumes to us, like as athletic trainers, because we're not personal trainers. We're not like, you know, other like different types, you know, of trainers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we're athletic trainers that deal with, you know, real athletic injuries that happen. Yep. And I feel like sometimes people get us confused for personal trainers, you know?
You're like, nope, there's a difference. Yeah. Let's be clear. Yeah, and there is.
So take us back to when you were in school. So you're working on scholarship as an athletic trainer, but you're also handling a full course curriculum. So did you find it difficult to balance your coursework and working in the training room?
I also had a job at the same time.
You're not all heroes wear capes. Does not surprise me, though.
Yep.
We've learned about April.
We have. Not all heroes wear capes. Okay.
So I just knew I had to work on time management. So that's something I also like tell everybody. I was like, if you go into athletic training, the main thing is time management, especially like, you know, I had to work in order to, you know, pay for gas or, you know, pay for bills or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would always do, okay, I have athletic training here. I used to have my schedule on my phone. I have an agenda. I also have like the hanging calendars. I literally had to learn time management in order to make sure, okay, I need to study for this course. I have a test on this course, or there's homework here, you know? And there'll be times like certain semesters where I'll drop the ball. But at the same time, I'm like, hey, you dropped the ball on this test. You have to pick it back up, you know, because there is people that they have a full workload. Sometimes, you know, we have our clinicals, we have our full like schedule for classes, work, or sometimes there's certain people that do have kids. And if you do not know time management, doing this will you'll drown. So that's what helped me out most is somebody told me and sat me down and was like, you need to write your whole schedule down. And wake up, once you wake up, you know exactly what you need to do. And when before you go to sleep, you know what you need to end with, you know,
execute on that plan. Mm-hmm. So that leads us into this. So if you could share with us one pro and one con about just your profession in general, for those that are interested in coming into that field, or those that are interested in just switching from whatever they're doing. And this is like, you know, highly interesting to them. Can you share that for us? One pro, one con, please.
Yeah. So one pro is like just getting to know different athletes and people with different background, you know, and also being a mentor for our next generation. You know, that's the biggest pro. And also seeing them, if they're injured, seeing them come out of that injury. And it was, you were the reason that they were able to put one foot in front of the other to be able to go back and do their sport, you know? So that's the pro of it, like being a mentor, being there for your athletes, you know? One con is that we just don't get recognized a lot. And it's a very, I always tell my student athletic trainers, this is a very thankless job. So you have to remember, I will always say thank you to you because you help me and you're always here for me. But just know if you decide to step into this profession, it's a very thankless job. But at the end of the day, they'll still remember you.
No, it's, you know? it's the, and that's a great, It's a good con in the sense of it's very true and it's mm-hmm. very realistic. So I'm glad you share that, because a lot of times people get into things and they think there's going to be a lot of accolades and recognition, and there might not be any. But you know that what you're doing makes a difference, you know, but did you still stick it through, although no one's giving you a pat on the back every single day. So and being of service is, that's one of the, I want to say, sacrifices in those types of jobs, you know.
I love that. And time management, people.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not the curriculum when you say, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to live my best life and go to Thirsty Thursdays and Manic Mondays.
But that's almost in everything that we've been coming across, all the different guest speakers we've had there. That's the one thing that's true. Whether you're going to college or not, time management is key. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're doing for that day, you're just going to be floating. Or you're going to always feel like you're a rat, like, you know, just on a rat wheel, just never catching up to anything.
Yeah.
So that was extremely critical that you shared that too.
Now, would you say that you attribute learning your time management during your time in high school when you got a chance to work as an assistant and shadow your athletic trainer there?
I picked it up a little bit in high school due to, like, we had the sports medicine academy. So mm-hmm. I really wanted to get into the different types of injuries. Mm-hmm. And then also we had different games and we were assigned different sports depending on what our athletic trainer gave us at that time. But when I was in college and I went to Nova, because I went to Nova Southeastern after Miami Dade College.
I did too. I'm an alum.
Yes. Oh my gosh, sharks. So when I went to Nova, that's when I was, because I don't know if you really know the Miami area.
Mm-hmm. You know it a little bit better than I do. I still use my GPS.
I lived
everywhere.
In West Kendall. To Davie.
Yeah, that's an hour and a half easy.
Yes. And then drive to Gables for my job.
Oh my goodness.
I know the Gables
dedication. We know she's driven, but this just solidifies it, right? So she had a job. She's doing this, I'll call it internship thing happening. You're taking mm-hmm. coursework. I mean, that's just a lot going on, but you were determined to say, I could do it.
Yes.
I told my friends, I'm like, hey, 3 years. 3 years, just give me 3 years, you know, especially when I went to Nova and I knew the drive and everything like that. And there was a time I felt overwhelmed because I had never failed a test. Mm-hmm. So when I failed a test, and I mean, I didn't get an F, but it wasn't passing grade at all. And I felt like this is crazy. Like, why am I not mm-hmm. doing well? And it was because I totally flipped my time management and I wasn't being strict with myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have a lot of things on your plate. Mm-hmm. Look at what you need to take out or what you need to shorten, you know, at that point. And I was like, okay. I had to sit down with my preceptor at that point, and he was like, calm down. You're doing good here. You're doing excellent here in your internship. I know you're struggling elsewhere. Just write everything down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And so then I went from not being just on my phone, because back then we weren't really on our phones how we are now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, grab a planner and put it in your planner, because obviously your phone is not working for you. Because, you know, we weren't on our phones like that. So then I was like, okay, I'll grab a planner. And from that planner came the calendar. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I wake up, I look at my calendar and I'm like, I have this today and I have this today. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Let's get it done. Yeah. Seize the day, carpe diem. Yes.
I love that.
Because if you're not strict with yourself and you're not being, you know, having your time management, being strict with your time management, on yourself, mm-hmm. then there's going to be times where you're feeling overwhelmed, or there's going to be things that fall through the crack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the reason why, like, I tried to be as strict for myself going through those years that I had to go to athletic training.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That time management, people, that discipline, that self-control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what would you say is the most gnarly injury that you've seen, where everybody else was like, ew, and looking away, and you were just running headfirst like a firefighter into the fire?
Oh my goodness. A gnarly injury, like, that's a lot of blood. It would be, I would want to, like, if it was, if it's the bloodiest one, ooh, I would say it would be, one of my baseball players, he got hit with a pitch in his face. And the nose broke. He was bleeding from his nose, but he had braces, so his braces were stuck to his lip.
That
poor fellow.
All sorts of damage.
You know.
That was the bloodiest one, and the one that I was just like, fanny pack, where's my fanny pack? Gloves, gauze. Are you okay? Do you feel like passing out? You know, like, I just knew exactly what to do. Everything was just like running through my head. And I felt if the athletic trainers that I didn't, like, if I didn't go, didn't do athletic training in high school or in college, I wouldn't have been prepared for that.
Right.
I wouldn't have been prepared for that, because, you know, everything happens so quickly, and you need to get the athlete stable as quick as possible, and also cover him from other people that might pass out in the stands from seeing that, you know?
Eunice would be that one. So
I don't do well with that stuff.
Well, I can say, as someone from the braces community who is also accident prone, we thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, how can someone reach you if they want to ask questions about what it's like, a day in a life, or they are in the process of maybe doing applications and getting ready for college and their next step, and they have some questions as far as maybe preparation in reference to that? How can they find you?
They can usually find me. Everybody has been sending me direct messages through my Instagram, which is APEROW24. And I'll try to always see, because sometimes they'll come out as hidden messages, but I always try to respond as quick as possible. Or on TikTok, the same thing, APEROW24. And then they can also use this Gmail to contact me, which is APEROW24@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I will say to anybody, before you send her your question, definitely check out her TikTok first, because she's got like a lot of videos where she might have 9 times out of 10 already answered that question for you, and you got to see something. So just a little hint. Oh, thank you so much. So are there any last words of inspiration or anything that you'd like to say before we close out?
I usually, you're going to think it's kind of weird, but I usually use a quote from, it's from my big fat Greek wedding.
Oh boy.
I'll pull it up here.
If so it works, it works. Oh man, yeah, that see? Movie.
My wow, twin flame. I use movie quotes too.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try not to butcher it. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah. So while she looks for that, hopefully you guys enjoyed speaking with April, because I know I did. Because I mean, again, like she said, thankless job. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're sports fanatics in the sense of we'll watch a good game, but no one's really ever thinking about, man, who's the first people that run out there to take care if there's an injury. So it's good to know that we have people out there that cares, and they do it because they want to, not because there's all this recognition that comes with it, right? So.
And thinking of the time, so we got a lot of nuggets here. If you didn't already know, like we didn't, that there's a scholarship That's definitely something to look into, because there is a scholarship for athletic training. If you didn't think it was an option, to even if you're in high school or whatever age range you may be at, reach out and see about internships. You definitely can do that. If you want to be like April and cold call and show up, I recommend it. I say do it. I'm cheering you on. And time management, that's a big one. Got to have discipline. You got to be able to control your day and be the captain of your fate. So I think we got a lot of good takeaways with this one. Thank you.
We sure did. We sure did. So let's end with a quote.
So the quote that I usually tell a lot of people is from my Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is, don't let your past dictate your future, but let it be part of who you will become.
Love that.
I do too.
I think we can leave that right there. Mic drop.
That's it. April, thank you so much for just taking the time and sitting with us and sharing with us just some of your experiences and why you love what you do. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, cousins. So that's a wrap for another episode. Don't forget to tune in next week. New episodes drop weekly. We'll have another visitor on our virtual couch. So stay tuned to find out who it is. I'm creating mystery. I'm creating suspense.